Governor, welcome back to Up to Date.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to join you. How about them Royals? Boy, I'm sure excited about how well they're playing.
How about those Royals, Governor? They are very much fun to watch. Well, the tax increase package just adopted in Topeka has been described by some as the largest tax increase in state history. But you're saying it shouldn't be considered a tax increase at all. Why not?
Because it's basically what I proposed 3 years ago. 3 years ago, you may recall, I talked about going to a flat tax with a small business accelerator in it. Flat tax does away with all your deductions, exemptions, broadens your base, lowers your rate. We've lowered the rate then, but we didn't broaden the base. Well, this session, this is broadening the base, and there's a lot of things in here where you did away with deductions and exemptions. I also proposed at that time we take the sales tax that had been increased under Mark Parkinson and keep that as part of the transitioning from an income tax system to a consumption-based tax system. The sales tax was 6.3 then, dipped to 6.15. It's now at 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty similar, and I think you've just got to look at this thing in the totality of the movement over the past 3 years. And when you look at it that way, on net, this is a tax cut. The entire package is a tax cut to Kansas taxpayers.
Governor, Democrats are out today saying that the fact you won't acknowledge that this is a tax increase, what happened in the last session, is a sign that you're living in a dream world. What do you say to that?
Well, I wish they'd put forward proposals that they supported. The Democrats didn't put forward a single proposal in this legislative session that could be debated. The only thing they wanted to see happen was everything fail, just come crashing down. That's all they wanted to see. And so if they're not willing to put forward proposals, I don't know that they have much credibility to criticize.
In the past, they say they've come to your rescue. They've stood by tax increases and tried to help out during tough times, and then Republicans ran against them in the next election. So why should they have helped out this time?
Well, if they don't think they have reasonable alternatives to put forward, I guess they don't have a responsibility. But if they're not going to put forward proposals, then I don't think they really should stand to criticize the same that they are doing so loudly now. Then put forward your proposals and stand by them.
You continue to maintain, Governor, that your business tax cuts were the right move and have benefited the state. But why are you standing by that when job growth is among the slowest in the country and you had to raise taxes on every resident of the state, I'm talking about the sales tax, to fill a budget hole created by the original cuts?
Well, the original cuts were primarily across-the-board income tax cuts. Overall, two-thirds of the cut went to income taxpayers, not to small business. And I've got, these numbers, I'm not sure what you're citing to, Steve, but our economy grew at an annual rate of 1.8% in 2014, beating the region and almost every state in the area. In the Kansas City market, which is so competitive for us, we're outgrowing private sector jobs on the Kansas side 90%. Of the time faster than on the Missouri side on these month-by-month measurements taking place. Private sector job growth, one of the key indicators I ran on. We've had 72,000 new private sector jobs since I've taken office. The other one that we pushed hard economically is personal income growth, and we've seen that grow since I've taken office. So those are measures that are there, and the performance is moving up. The thing that's happening, Steve, I think it's striking, is that while Kansas's rankings are improving, the overall economy is not improving in the nation compared to what it was prior to President Obama. The national economy is underperformed, and yeah, while we're doing better within a poorer economy, it still doesn't feel that good, even though our numbers are improving.
But some of the job growth numbers you're citing, Governor, are gross increases in numbers of jobs. The last numbers I've seen, and I'll cite the numbers, the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics, this is the sort of the Bible of the job growth industry here in terms of tracking these numbers. They just rank Kansas 42nd nationally, 8 from the bottom for job growth nationally, using numbers from April 2014 to April 2015. Those numbers don't suggest the tax cuts are working.
And a month earlier, we were tied for number one in the nation on this, Steve. If you take, if you try to take a pinpoint of one point from another one and try to take the worst situation you possibly can, and you include public sector jobs, because our focus has been private sector jobs, private sector job growth. 2 months ago, we were number one in the nation, on tied for number one with Utah on private sector job growth. I think you've got to look at the totality of the picture and look at also at the prior performance. Kansas had been an underperformer for a number of years, and we're improving our rankings overall when you look at the total picture.
Still, when you compare ourselves to our neighboring states, Kansas continues to lag, Governor. Those numbers have been fairly consistent for any number of months now.
Well, I just cited you ones where we were improving in the region, and certainly I suppose you're claiming, too, that Kansas City, Missouri is growing faster most of the time than Kansas City, Kansas.
Well, it depends on the numbers you look at, you're going to say.
Well, no, I'm just asking you, because what I'm seeing is that we're beating Kansas City, Missouri on private sector job growth 90% of the time. Now, you can cite that month where we don't and say you're underperforming. But plus, I think, Steve, you got to look at this and the long-term picture, and the states that have grown faster have tended to be those that have no income tax or lower income tax, because income tax is a distorting type of tax, and we're trying to get to a tax that's less distorting on economic activity, one in a sales tax that 20% of it roughly paid from people out of state as well.
You know, what about other Republicans around the country, Governor? They're not only not copying the Kansas cuts, they're criticizing it. Case in point, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, who said the other day that she wants to cut taxes too, but she doesn't want to do it the Kansas way. What about that?
Well, I would agree. You know, the first time out when we put the tax cut forward, the pay-fors in it were taken out. In the Kansas Senate, controlled by moderates at that time. I put forward a flat tax proposal with a small business accelerator that had a hole of about $90 million. But once you take the pay-fors out, it's hundreds of millions. So I think there is a more prudent way of doing it. Having said that, you're still seeing a number of Republican governors go after income tax cuts because these are economically distorting. They hurt your private sector job growth. And if you want to grow, you need to do this. The other thing, too, Stephen, I think you'll see more of this, is we all compete for jobs. We compete. We subsidize big businesses to come into our states. What you're seeing happening in Kansas is really trying to create the atmosphere for the best place in America to grow a small business.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to a zero tax system on small business as a way to get those jobs, because that's the primary job creator in America is small business. I think you're going to see a lot more places start looking at that particular feature as a continued competition for jobs across the country.
That original bill you alluded to a few minutes ago, the one that lacked the pay-fors or a way to pay for the cuts that were implemented, you know, critics would look at that, Governor, and say, well, you signed the bill.
Sure did. Everybody, I asked the leadership of the Senate in my office, saying, well, they said you need to veto the bill. And I said, well, are you going to send me something else? And they said, might. Don't know. I said, well, so you're telling me it's either this or nothing. And that was the option given. So, you know, in the legislative process, I think you're well familiar with, you don't always get what you ask for. And you have to see, well, does this move us towards what we want to do? And this moved us off of income taxes, more onto consumption-based taxes. And, you know, it's been a difficult run. The other thing that's been difficult here is we've had a big increase in need to fund our pension system in the state of Kansas. And we've added over $400 million more than we had pre-recession time periods into our CAPR system. We're out of the bankruptcy zone now. But you needed to take care of that, or else you get in a situation like Detroit or Chicago is in. And that's added cost. Our Medicaid system continues to grow in cost, and we continue to put more money in K-12. So you got key cost drivers that we've taken care of, at the same time transitioning to a more growth-oriented tax system.
I'm visiting with Kansas Governor Sam Brownback, Governor, just a couple of others. The other criticism you hear is that by shifting to the sales tax as heavily as Kansas is, you're shifting the tax burden in our state to those least able to pay for all that, and that's poor folks. What about that?
Well, I hope you saw yesterday the bill I signed took the bottom 388,000 income tax filers away from paying income taxes. Because I don't know why they're paying income taxes in the first place, and I think this is one of the key things we need to do to help them, and also to encourage their work in the job market, because the way out of poverty is really getting a job and getting more education and family structure. So we want to encourage that, and that was part of what we did this time around to really help. And we have one of the most generous EITCs. We have the most generous one in the region and one of the most generous in the country.
That's the earned income tax credit you're talking about.
Yes.
But, you know, there's been a study done by the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy saying that even with the changes you just mentioned, poor folks are winding up paying a net increase in taxes, Governor.
Well, they're not paying income taxes, and they have the access to the earned income tax credit. Food tax credit that was left in. And what we're trying to do is to get people more income in their pocket. And personal income has gone up in the state of Kansas, $2,000. And as you get more private sector jobs, you get more people competing or for folks to work where they are, wages go up. And that's what we're seeing taking place in the state of Kansas. That's a systemic way that you can grow. I think it's why you see people moving into these no-income tax states, mm-hmm. You know, where you could say, well, they're moving into a more regressive tax policy situation. Why would somebody do that? And I think they're moving there for jobs and for opportunities. And that's what we're trying to create over time.
Why not shift some of the tax burden, you know, back to the businesses that had their taxes cut the last few years, Governor? I mean, we've had callers on this radio program saying they are beneficiaries of those cuts, and they feel embarrassed that they are because they're not hiring anybody.
Well, that vote was put forward in the House, failed substantially, and the economic modeling we built quite a bit of this on, it showed that that's the best way to get job growth taking place, is to really pull that tax off. We are seeing it then come out, I believe, now I don't have a study to back this up, but we are seeing personal income growth taking place in Kansas, and I think some of that is less taxes on small business and that then coming back into the system. The other thing is, if anybody is working for somebody else and wants to start their own small business, they can go out and have that same zero income tax policy. That's a small business growth policy, and we've seen a number of small businesses grow record numbers in the state of Kansas of new filings. So overall, the early data looks very promising on this.
Governor, final question, and I promise it's the final question. There's a lot of concern on this side of the state, and I know you've heard it, that the increase in the sales tax will ultimately drive shoppers to the Missouri side of the state line for groceries and other items. They can save money by buying those products in Missouri as opposed to Kansas, given the sales tax increase. How big of an issue is this going to be here on the border?
Something for us to watch. We certainly are seeing income tax filers move from Missouri into Kansas. So, you know, I'm happy to see that trend taking place. And we hope that that will accelerate the number of income tax filers moving from Missouri into Kansas. But we have to watch the other one as well.
Well, Governor, I've extended you 4 minutes past our agreed time. I want to thank you for your time, and I hope you'll consider coming back on the show because I know our listeners would have questions and would enjoy a chance to talk directly to you.
Hey, thanks, Steve. God bless you all. Take care.
Appreciate it, Governor. Bye-bye.